Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Where do businesses in Kent go to do business? Supplymybusiness.co.uk. Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join today. Supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, October the 4th, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Amanda Flanders.
I'm glad you didn't.
You're getting a bit cold, love.
I am. I bought my big coat today.
She's got a big bloody parka. Big fleecy parka. It's not that cold in here.
I remember seeing the pictures of Zoe last week. No, it wasn't Zoe. The week before it was Zoe.
When Zoe was a guest on the show, she had to wear my jacket. It was so cold. Yeah.
Just a little bit nippy now, that's all.
Yeah, absolutely. Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show. We've got another great guest to hear from shortly. I've got a few tweets and some emails to read out. And, of course, we have our regular news roundup from the Federation of Small Business to come. I've had a tweet from Caroline and Liz.
Oh, the
Organic Sisters.
Organic Sisters.
The Organic Sisters. That's not easy to say, that. Organic Sisters. Riverford _ Kent, the Organic Sisters, delivering fresh fruit, vegetables, and pantry boxes around the county. So do check them out. Riverford _ Kent on the Twitter. They say, I bet Vanilla Web and Jewel Circuit, we're not talking about Jewels at the moment because she's drunk somewhere in Asia. I bet Vanilla Web and Jewel Circuit would love some seasonal squashes. Do you know, funnily enough, I had butternut squash last night.
I love butternut squash.
So do I, but I just had a whole one because I got home quite late.
Just ate it raw?
From work. No, I did cook it. I got home quite late and I opened the fridge and the only thing in my fridge was a butternut squash. So I thought, well, that's supper sorted then.
So you just shoved it in the oven?
No, actually, I microwaved it. No, but I steamed it. Yeah, I've got a microwave steamer.
Oh, I'm not sure if I quite like that.
Yeah, no, it was
steamed
nice.
Steamed squash, was it nice?
Yeah, yeah, cut it into cubes. Let me tell you how to do this. Cut it into cubes, steam it, yeah, drain it, black pepper.
Paprika is nice, isn't it?
She's being rude to me. Oh, paprika.
Paprika.
Right, okay. I thought you were calling me names. Right.
I would never do that on air, Paul.
Would you not?
Not
everybody
on air.
Else does. Richard Torball's been on.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, Vanilla Web. Can you give us a shout out for two nights in Victor Chamber, free networking event at the Nucleus Innovation Centre? That's near Dartford Bridge, isn't it?
It's near. Oh, yeah. And how far is that away from here? How close is it to Mebham?
Don't start. That was a guess of my part, 8 miles. You gave me jip over that and said it's nowhere near. It's actually 9.7, which is not a million miles, is it?
No. Thank you, Linda, for that.
Yeah. Anyway, there's an Invicta, Kent Invicta Chamber networking event at the Nucleus Innovation Centre, and it's hosted by Diligence Info, and it's from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
It's tonight, isn't it?
Huh?
It's tonight, isn't it?
I think so, but he doesn't say in his tweet.
Which I believe it is tonight.
I think somewhere in your pile of emails, you probably got an email about it anyway, but I think it is. I think you're probably right, it's tonight. And Stu Weller, the close-up magician, has... Hey, Stu, give my wallet back. he's brilliant, Stu. If you want a close-up entertainer, he's your man, Stu Weller. Big shout out for him. And Red Sails in Faversham, a Business Bunker Show. We're listening to you live here at the Faversham Creek Hotel. And we're listening to all the latest news and events. Oh, good. I thought you were listening to us.
Yeah, we are all the news and events.
Oh, here we go. She's on. Jewel Surfing. Hello, Vanilla. Morning, she says, because, you know, she's just rubbing it in. She sent me a picture of the sea, where she is. From her beach hut. She says morning, and then she says, I've just had afternoon tea. But you know what she's like. You know, she's probably... What's happened is she's only just got up, and they've gone, breakfast, madam. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. She's like, oh, I've had an afternoon tea. She's in Lombok, and she says she's getting ready for dinner. She's only just got up. So I'm getting ready for dinner, and I'm going to have spicy Indonesian for dinner. There you go.
Sounds good.
Oh, I've got a tweet.
Who from?
It's from Steve and Sarah, I imagine. Steve is a scientist with luscious hair.
Oh, the luscious hair people.
Steve is a scientist with luscious hair, and Sarah works with Steve at Venom Tech. And they say, have a great Business Monkey Show today, Vanilla Webb. We're listening as always. Can we get a shout out for tonight's fascinating episode? And the fascinating episode tonight is tune in to see the last in the series of Pain, Pus and Poison.
Oh, really?
Pain, Pus and Poison.
It's almost as bad as the birds killing
with Dr.
birds.
Michael Molesley featuring our very own scorpions.
Oh, I hate scorpions.
Yeah.
I won't be watching.
Follow them on the Twitter, Venom Research. They're based over there in Discovery Park. Dr. Steve Trim is the microbiologist in charge, and he is a member of that august institution, and it really exists, scientists with luscious hair, because he does have some very nice locks, and his gloriously gorgeous assistant, Sarah Smith, and they are listening now, and they are going to be doing Pain, Pus and Poison later on. Oh, lovely.
Everybody that made, to their own.
That made everyone in the studio cringe.
We're like, oh, scorpion, no.
Cool. You've just read Fab Ideas' tweet, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
I've just came across that. Cool. Look, we've got 200 more tweets. We'll read some of them later because I want to talk to our guests now.
Yes,
I've been dying to do this for the whole show. It's an absolute pleasure and a privilege to welcome onto the show the gorgeous Kubi Stringer. Kubi, thank you so much for joining us. Record earlier.
Oh, it's all right. We heard it. That's all that matters.
It was just for you.
Thank you.
That's all right. Kubi, tell us a little bit about you. You're a brand specialist, and I saw you nodding away when we were listening to Alison talking earlier.
And, she was fascinating.
Yeah, great. And I guess some of that feeds into some of the things that you do. But you've got a fantastic track record of dealing with all kinds of things from Nike to Rio Ferdinand and all things in between. So tell us a bit about you. I think you might even have some gossip for us if we're really lucky.
I might have a little bit.
Yeah.
So I've been doing brand building for 20 years now.
She's not old enough, is she?
I am.
No, I love you.
Did
you start when you're still in school?
To be honest, I'm going to give my age away here because I started when I was 18,
right.
Doing an internship with MTV.
26, okay, 26. Cool.
Absolutely, again and again.
Women don't go past 26, you should know.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, for me, it's 21. Stop at 21.
Yeah,
that's
26 is more realistic.
Yeah, okay,
I'm on my third go round at 20s.
Bless you.
Yeah.
So I started at MTV and to caught the bug, I loved it. And then I thought I was going to get a job when I finished, and they offered me a job, and it was paying something like £10,000 a year, and I'd come up with a first. And in my mind, that didn't make sense. And so I remember someone saying to me, well, if you're going to be, you know, doing this, you've got to start at the bottom, you've got to, you know, build your way. And I thought, well, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to go to where they really get brand building. And when I started my career, it was all about music marketing, really. And so I went to New York and I went and worked with Puffy or P. Diddy or Sean Diddy Combs, which I've known
whatever he was called that way.
Yeah. And so I worked in New York with him for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Started off as an intern there at his marketing agency called Blue Flame. And then I was doing a black and white party in Los Angeles and I met Justin Timberlake. I knew you were going to do
that.
I knew.
So jealous.
And he's so gorgeous. He really, really, really is. That's for all the ladies out there.
Yeah.
And so basically I met Justin and he was bringing over his tour, which was Justified tour to the UK. And his choreographers, Eddie Morales and Marty Cadaloki, they were looking for someone to brand themselves. And so that's the first freelance contract that I got, was working with Justin Timberlake, Sony BMG, the Justified tour.
Very impressive first.
Really, I know.
Amazing.
I was like 23 and going,
oh my God.
And then it kind of just really built from there. I got Nike when I was about, I think I was about 25 when I did Nike.
Wow.
And they wanted to combine music and sport.
Right.
And obviously I had the music background and what have you.
Sure.
And the contacts. And so we did Nike Midnight Madness. And then I got a phone call when I was 26 to be head of marketing for the MOBO Awards. I know.
Doesn't it make you feel inadequate?
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah. No, not at all. Yeah. Again, I was kind of 26 and going,
Do you know what? I'm going to hate meeting her when she's 50 odd.
We are not worthy.
Get out of here. And so I did MOBO, but the way MOBO works is that you, unlike most award ceremonies, you work crazy hours for 6 months of the year. Sure. You know, you're working like 14-hour days trying to make it happen. And then the other 6 months of the year, you only really needed 3 days a week working on sponsorship deals. And I had a freelancer contract. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to do other things. So I did the Sex and the City first movie launch, which was amazing. Yeah, phenomenal experience. Yeah. Got to meet, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker, who's just so humble considering who she is. Yeah, so humble. And then I got the call from Rio Ferdinand's commercial agent. And I'll never forget this conversation because he kind of called me up and he said, you know, you could be Springer, yes, and did all the introduction and said what they wanted. And I got off the phone and I called my dad and I was like, Dad, who's Rio Ferdinand? And my dad was like, how can you not know who Rio is? And you know, I knew Beckham. Right, I knew the good looking chaps. Had no idea who Rio was and did my research and what have you. And this is a bit of a tip for pitching, really. Right. I had planned my pitch presentation in my mind. I thought I was going to do a PowerPoint presentation. It was going to be amazing. And they picked me up. They had a car pick me up, took me to an airport, a private airport. And I thought, oh, okay.
Okay.
Got on the plane and it was, you know, it was a jet and Rio was on the jet. And all I kept thinking is, where's the PowerPoint? So, you know, be prepared to pitch anywhere. And so I ended up kind of having an informal interview with him, flying from London to Manchester. And by the time we got off, he was like, you know, I like you, let's do this. And in essence, Rio wanted to build his brand beyond football. I mean, if we fast forward now, he's doing all the presenting, etc.
Sure, yeah.
But all of that is strategic. You know, yeah. He was at the peak of his career. He wanted to start looking at how do I take my brand beyond just being a phenomenal football player.
Yeah.
And that's what I was involved in. So we did Rio's World Cup wind-ups. Right. And for those who remember, it was on ITV. It was the programme before the England match of that year for the World Cup. And in essence, it was a punt. So Rio was punking the starting lineup. He punked Lampard, Rooney, Ashley Cole. And it was amazing. Beckham got punked. And so I was involved in kind of all the commercial deals. You know, if Rio held up a phone, you know, that's a £250,000 deal that somebody's done.
Sure,
and in this case, it was me. So my career kind of built. And so if I fast forward 20 years, in essence, what I do now is we have a brand management agency called She Builds Brands. And we still deal with fashion, luxury brands. We don't do entertainment as much because you kind of get past an age where, you know, you're just too old.
You're just too old. Well, to be honest,
I don't know who's in the top 10.
I was talking to Justin the other day about this, and we'd never even heard of you, love.
Justin doesn't remember.
Yeah.
Just get to a point. I mean, I've got a four-year-old, and you just say, you know what, I did it, and it was amazing in my 20s. But we do fashion, we do luxury, we do lifestyle brand management.
Yeah.
But my passion is really training SMEs on how to do it because marketing and brand building is a formula. Yeah. Whether I'm dealing with Nike or whether I'm dealing with a company that's just starting, really the only differences are the zeros at the end of the marketing budget.
Sure.
That's it. And why I was kind of nodding profusely as Alison was speaking your earlier quarter is because really those formulas transcend industry, it transcends sector, and it transcends the size of the business. And so what I do is I have training, a bit like Addison, where we teach companies who are starting out, how do you build a brand? What are the strategic points to building a brand? Addison was talking about demographic. You've got to know your audience. Nobody markets to everybody. And I was laughing in my head when she was speaking because I go and do training. I say, so who's your target audience? Everyone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, not even Coca-Cola, who take 20% of their global profits and put it back into marketing, target everyone.
Yeah.
And so, you know, really the passion for me is the training element. And the team get on with the brand building. I have, you know, 20-year-olds in the office who still want to do London Fashion Week and they still want to do premieres and what have you. And that's great. It's, you know, it's lovely to see the next generation doing
sure.
it. So, yes, that's what we do.
Cool. I mean, that's brilliant. And what a brilliant story.
Thank you.
But I love what you were just saying as well. And to me, one of the things that I see now, and it's probably different to how it was years ago, is that all of us can have a brand. And do have a brand, no matter what we do.
Yes.
It might just be rubbish.
But, so true.
Yeah. Especially with social media, because we all put ourselves out there.
Yes.
And we don't think about this as a branding exercise, but that's exactly what it is.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's this 15 minutes of fame that was always predicted has now arrived.
It absolutely has. I have a saying, and I say it to people all the time. I say, define your brand, or the world will define it for you.
Yeah.
The minute that you're on social media, by default, you are building a brand.
Yeah.
And you just have to make the choice of, do I want to be strategic with this? Do I want to be clever with this? Or am I just going to be, you know, whatever it is, what it is. And as a result, you'll end up with nonsense on the internet and you'll have a brand by default. So the training is about, you're absolutely right, Paul. It's about saying to people, what do you want your brand to be? How are you going to define your voice and your essence and your packaging? And then how do you make money from your brand?
Mm. Absolutely. And I absolutely love what you're saying. I really do, because you see it so often. People come in, they start off on social media. And I'm a great one for telling people, get on social media. Mm-hmm. It's a great marketing platform. Mm-hmm. And I'm forever persuading people to take up Twitter or whatever. Yeah. But you do, it's as Alison said, you need a strategy. And yes, that's what you're saying, isn't it? You need a brand strategy. Yes. You need to understand what it is before you start.
Absolutely. I'm a big believer that, you know, social media, it's imperative. But it really can go wrong if you don't know what you're doing.
Absolutely.
And so I say to clients all the time, if you're on at the moment, it might be worth you just taking a pause, even if it's for a few weeks, just to think through some of the basics. Mm. What is the brand messaging?
Yeah.
You know, in other words, who are you? What do you do? And most importantly, why should people care?
Yeah.
And that's the bit that's really important. And Alison touched on this. You're selling a need,
yeah,
not a want.
Yeah.
You've got to feed into a need. Business ultimately is about solving problems.
Mm.
What is the problem that your brand is solving?
Mm.
And once you understand that, then you can work out, well, who is it that needs this proposition?
Mm.
Goes into your demographic, understanding your consumer profile, and then understanding the buying cycles. When are people buying? Because one of the things that makes me cringe on social media is people are always selling.
Mm.
But your demographic is not always buying.
Yep,
so the question is, you know, when are you brand building versus when do you need to be selling? And and Alison's spot on. Once you understand your brand strategy, your sales strategy then feeds quite nicely into that. And so, yeah, I believe take a minute. And if you need to, and I have clients do this, they go back to their Instagram and they end up deleting half the things that they've put up there because it's not on brand.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, and it's not all about social media. Obviously, there are other things. But social media has a big impact these days because that's where we're in front of the biggest number of people for the most amount of time, I guess.
Absolutely.
And I see this so often. Even people that claim to know better.
Mm.
I've seen people that claim to be marketing specialists or social media specialists or whatever, posting things.
Yes.
And I've actually messaged them saying,
are you sure?
Are you sure you should have posted that? And I went, yeah, well, he was a twat. And I went, no, yes, that's not the point that I'm making.
Absolutely.
Though, you know, that's not in line with who you are. Remember that you're posting as a business.
Absolutely.
And they've gone, oh,
absolutely,
I didn't think of that.
And you're so spot on. And I always say, I'm full of sayings. You'll get to know me. But digital has no respect for boundaries.
Yeah.
So what you're saying in the UK, people will pick up in Asia. They'll pick it up in the US.
Yeah.
And so just really appreciating from the get-go that you're speaking to a global audience. You're not actually just speaking to your friends.
Yeah.
Because honestly, our friends is on our mobile phone. I can count my friends on one hand.
Yeah.
And so it's I love what I do. I've been doing it for a long, long time. But ultimately, Paul, what I love people to recognize with brand building is that it's a business driver.
Yeah.
And it has to be making your business make money.
Sure.
And if it's not, then, you know, take a brand check and say, actually, am I doing something wrong here?
Mm.
I look at some of these youngsters with hundreds of thousands of followers and I'm like, I love that. But are you making any money?
Yeah.
You know, that's all well and good.
Yeah.
But actually, are you turning them into customers or is it just an ego boost?
Yeah, absolutely.
And if it is an ego boost, be honest about it. Don't say you're in business. Just say, you know, I need an ego boost.
Yeah, I just like having loads of followers.
I just like having loads of followers.
That's why Paul does it. Yeah.
What?
Did say anything?
No, absolutely. And I, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. I want to ask you a couple of questions, if I may, around this whole brand thing. From your point of view as a brand specialist and having worked in this market since you were a child, the whole thing about logos and stuff like that, do you get involved in that side of it or is that...
Yeah, so as an agency, we have kind of four components.
Mm.
One is brand audits.
Mm.
So that's normally where a company's been going for a while and they'll ask us to come in and do an MOT on their brand. The second area that we get involved in is brand development. So that is your brand ID, the look and feel of your logo, your packaging, your product images, etc.
Mm.
And we have a studio in London that kind of caters for all of that.
Mm.
The third element is campaigns, bringing the brand to market. And then the fourth element is commercial deals, making sure your brand's making money.
Okay, cool.
So, yes, it's the short answer.
I love that answer. Because, again, it, for me, it's also something that's kind of snuck up on me just recently. I own a company that we started a long time ago, and we built a very strong brand in our marketplace. We now have over 70% of our marketplace as a share. But we have a really awful logo that, we developed when we had no money and, you know, somebody's mates, cousins drew it and it looked reasonable, so we used it. The problem we suffer from now is we're trying to change our logo and make it much more professional. People go, oh, I don't like that. I'm used to the old one.
I'm used to, yes.
Yeah. So it's a strange thing that sometimes your own brand can trap you in it, if you see what I mean.
Absolutely. It's a fascinating story with Coca-Cola. I don't know, everybody in here is probably old enough to remember when Coca-Cola tried to change the shape of the bottle.
Yeah.
And that's because they had a new marketing exec come in and say, you know, actually, it would be better if it follows the new trends of bottle shapes. And, you know, they lost profits, and I don't have the stats in front of me, but it was a global mess, to put it nicely, and they had to go back to the shape that we all now know. The reality is that you can have any logo. That's the truth. I mean, you know, Nike is a tick. McDonald's is an M. You know, you can have any logo. It's really about the emotional connection to that logo. And so if you already have 70% of the market and your audience have a connection to that logo, my advice for free, no change, Paul, leave it alone.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the reality. Because if it's doing the job, which is, you know, branding, if we were to look at it as an academic term, a brand is an emotional connection with your target audience.
Yeah,
that's what a brand is, an emotional connection with your target audience. Your logo, your packaging, etc., are tools that we marketers use to make that connection. So you're already making the connection.
Absolutely. Don't change it. No, you're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. So are you listening, guys? The expert told you that.
It's staying.
Yeah, it's staying. It's horrible, nowhere. But it's staying.
Until it stops working.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm fascinated by this. I'm fascinated by what you do, and I'm fascinated by the things that you say. You've kind of moved into this training arena where you're helping SMEs and others to do their brand. Can you tell us a little bit about your training programs themselves? You know, how long do they last? Where do they happen? That kind of thing.
Absolutely. So there's a variety of things that we do. One is that people can get me face to face, and I go in and work with businesses in two ways. Either I'm working with the person who's running the business as them as the face of the brand.
Right.
And we're in an era now, I call it the celebrity entrepreneur,
okay,
where, you know, being, having a social media presence as the face of the brand, as the CEO, does well on a peripheral of levels. So sometimes the owners will say, can you come in and work with me as the leader, as the face of the brand, the person that's still going out and doing the pitching? And other times we work with teams, because sometimes what happens, in fact, 9 times out of 10, what happens is the owner knows what they're trying to do, but they're not quite communicating that message well enough to their staff. And I say to clients, whether they're the large corporates or an SME that's just starting, your number one customer is your staff. Normally when people call me in and they say, Kubi, our brand is not working, it's because the staff don't know what the beep is going on.
They don't understand.
And so the owner knows what's going on, but they haven't communicated it, or they need the staff to develop the training so that they are up to speed with how their brand needs to transcend across digital or dealing with customers or, you know, CRM in terms of how their brand works, part of their CRM strategy. So that's if you're getting me face to face, or any one of our experts, because sometimes I might be in Malaysia doing training and somebody in, you know, the south of England needs us, and so I'll call on one of our brand experts and it won't physically be me. The other option is that you can just do an e-course. We have a course at the moment that's running called I Am My Brand, which again is feeding into the idea that you are the brand. And it's an 8-week e-course. You can buy week by week if you want to.
Yeah,
it's online on shebuildsbrands.com. Or you can buy the entire course. And it comes with worksheets, and it's video-driven course. So it's me gabbering away about how you build brand strategies, etc. But I take celebrity case studies. I take well-known brands. So when I'm talking about brand partnerships. I take the Beckhams as an example, Victoria and David Beckham. How have they built their brand?
Yeah.
Purely through strategic partnerships.
Sure.
How is it that Facebook has become the brand that it has and it doesn't have an advertising budget? Mm. So how do you build your brand without an advertising budget? I take Facebook as the case study and I take you through that. Mm. So, yeah, you can do e-courses.
I love that. I really do love that. And not in the way that you are in terms of, because I don't have the knowledge of brands. That's not what my background was. I'm just a techie, basically, is what my background was. But having been in business for quite a long time now, and it took me a while, like I think it takes a lot of people that start businesses to first understand marketing.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, market it really? You mm-hmm. know, well, can't I just go out and sell something?
Sell.
You know, and it takes an awful long time before you realise how powerful marketing is.
Absolutely.
And why you need to do it.
Yes.
And part of that marketing mix is brand image and brand awareness.
Absolutely.
And branding. And in retrospect, having learnt that kind of the hard way, you think, blimey, if only I'd known that when I started.
Absolutely. And the other thing is I'm so passionate about is when marketeers say, oh, if you come and work with my agency, pay me X amount of thousands, but I can't tell you how much it's going to translate into sales. Guys, if you hear a marketeer say that, run.
Right.
Because it's not true.
Yeah.
A good marketeer has marketing metrics attached to the activities, and therefore they can demonstrate return on investment.
Absolutely.
The days of saying, oh, marketing, you know, oh, it's just great creative fluff. It's nonsense. You if you haven't got marketing metrics attached to what you're doing, why are you doing it?
Exactly.
Yeah, you don't know what's happening.
You need to know. Absolutely.
Exactly.
You need to know, for example, today's show, how many people are tuning into the website. If you're not knowing that, you don't know if it's working. Mm. So, you know, the days of marketing not being able to translate into sales is over.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely right. And that's had a profound effect on a lot of industries as well.
It has.
You know, because there's a famous saying, I can't remember. It's attributed to lots of different people as well, isn't it? But I think it was David Ogilvy from the advertising agency once said, you know, that 50% of all advertising is highly effective. We just don't know which 50%.
Exactly. Yeah. And now with digital, that's changed.
Changed, absolutely.
It's completely changed, you know. And what's wonderful is because of digital, you can be testing things in real time.
Yeah.
Sometimes people say to me as a specialist, they'll say, what do you think of my new product?
Yeah.
And I say, why do you care what I think?
Yeah.
What does your customers think?
Yeah.
How about you do some samples, put it up on Facebook and ask them, which one do you like? Before I write a new book, I'll say to my followers, guys, what do you want to learn?
Yeah.
What's hot trending right now? What do you not know about branding? Great, now I know what to write about. Here's my new book in 6 months' time.
Yeah.
So, you know, digital is great because it allows us to spend a little bit of money with maximum results.
Absolutely.
Can I?
Yeah, Kelsey.
Put my hand up.
Come on, Amanda.
Amanda.
Thank you.
That's all right.
Oh, I forgot what I was going to ask. No. So when you got, you just said about obviously with return investment and all that type of thing, and doing what customers need. It's about what the customers want. How do you make your brand what the customer wants, or is it your brand is you or your business, and then you just find your target audience? To direct
that is
to.
A phenomenal question. If we take Steve Jobs as an example, and the phenomenon of Apple, Steve Jobs started off because, as Steve Jobs the person, he wanted to change the status quo. That's what he fundamentally believed in as part of his value systems. He wanted to give products to the average man and woman who needed computers. We kind of rewind back to kind of 1977 when Apple started. The key is to follow the Steve Jobs phenomenon. What you do is you say, what do I believe in? What do I value? And then you say, who out there also believes in what I believe in? And whoever believes in what you believe in and needs what you're offering, that's your target audience.
Yeah.
So the Apple tribe is because it is people who also want to change the status quo. It is rebels with a call. It is geeks that want to be cool. Ultimately, Apple's core demographic, not the people who now buy because we've jumped on the Apple bandwagon, but the core demographic are people who believe in the fundamental value systems of the brand. And the brand started with what Steve Jobs believed in.
It started from Steve Jobs.
It started from.
And it's built.
And it's built. And so what I would say is, you know, if take myself as an example with my training, I fundamentally believe that branding is a formula. Marketing is a formula and anybody can get it right. I really believe that. So because I believe that, I go and find people who in themselves believe that even though they haven't got a Nike budget, they deserve to be a Nike. Even though they don't have the Rio Ferdinand platform, they deserve to have that platform. And so I tap into teaching people who fundamentally believe what I believe in. If I'm dealing with people who just want to make a quick buck, don't come to my training course.
Sure.
I don't want everybody there.
No.
Absolutely. I love what you're saying. And of course, you do. Some people can be a bit sniffy about this. You know, ordinary people, i.e. people that aren't famous former Premiership footballers
or
rappers or whatever, just ordinary people, a lot of people are starting to kind of build their own personal brand. Mm-hmm. And then you get lots of people going, you know, what's all that about? It's just showing off or whatever. But it's actually a very powerful thing, isn't it? If done properly,
it's imperative. Alison said something that's so true. People buy from people. That's the reality. People buy from people. And we're in an era where celebrityism is necessary for all by default of social media. And what I mean by that is, you know, when I was growing up, people say to me, why don't you have pictures with you and Rio? Why don't you have pictures with you and Puffy? Because when I was at university, you didn't go around taking selfies every 2 seconds. Yeah. That just, you know, there wasn't the iPhone and all the rest of it.
Sure.
But we've moved on. And in order to be able to operate business globally in today's market, you've got to get the trends. Yeah. And the trend is that whether it's you or a member of your staff, somebody needs to represent the organization because people buy people.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be you. Maybe you're a shy person. Yep. And actually you don't want all that attention, but it needs to be somebody in the organization that is the face of the brand because people buy people.
Yeah, absolutely. Or maybe it's like these, they're not as good looking as me.
Or they say you've got a face for radio.
Yeah, you do say that. Yeah. Thanks for that, Toby. Yeah, thanks for that.
I'm never coming back again. Yeah, I do.
Kibby, that's absolutely brilliant. I could talk to you all day about this.
So could I.
Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it?
Forget the rest of the afternoon. We'll just sit here. We'll just have a chat.
We're going to lock the door after the show and make her do an entire workshop for us. Kibby, we could talk to you forever. That's absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Monkey Show. Give us a shout out for your website again, She Builds Brands. Tell us about it. There is a link on the Kempis's Radio website. It will stay there forever that people can find it. But give us a shout out anyway, and your Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or whatever you want to give.
Absolutely. So the website is shebuildsbrands.com. If you're interested in training, just click on the training tab. All the information's there. And in terms of social media, I'm on everything. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Pinterest, at Kubi Springer. And Kubi spelled K-U-B-I, and then Springer is like the guy that used to go Jerry.
Yeah.
But he's not my uncle.
I was going to say, is he a relative?
He's not. So it's K-U-B-I Springer is the Twitter social media handle.
Kubi Springer, She Builds Brands, absolute star. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
Pleasure.
Do stay with us for the last few remaining minutes of the show.
Oh, I love it. I don't want to go anywhere.
Stay here all day.
That was brilliant. That was so brilliant. Thank you so much for
You're welcome.
Fantastic. We've still got tweets coming in left, right and centre. We've still got emails. We've got the FSB News Roundup. I've got a tweet from the lovely folks at New Appointments Group who say, we've been listening to the show. Fantastic stuff. And we're looking forward to being at the Construction Expo as well next week. And you can follow the lovely folks from New Appointments Group on the Twitter, NAG, N-A-G, and NAG Recruitment. So do give them a follow. Oh, look, Joe Dodds has been on.
Hi, Joe.
Yeah, Joe is a co-presenter of this show occasionally.
Lovely.
She's been listening to you, Kibby, because she's now trying to build up her part here. She's trying to brand build here. She's going, don't listen to that. Listen to next week when I'm on. Oh, thank you for that, Joe. That was really useful.
You should have me and Joe and Jules all here in one show together.
I have threatened
a co-host special show.
A lot of people asked about this, and I said stupidly that what I was going to do is our Christmas special this year, I would have all the co-presenters from the year. There's about five of you. They've all, and they will just make up the studio guests.
Oh, wow.
And then my main sponsor, Rift Accounting, who the sponsor of the show, have decided that they are going to present the show.
Yes.
And they are going to interview me.
And that's a brilliant idea. Love it.
Love it.
Love it.
I don't know what to say.
we've done it. There you go. That's your show.
Yeah.
Sorted.
I don't know what to say. I'm going to get all nervous now. I don't
want to
be
building your brand.
Yeah. A bit late for that. So anyway, that could be interesting. Gemma Fahey has been on.
Yeah.
Talking about my song choices.
See, she knew what she was. She knew the song.
She knew. She says, "I'm a baby," and I knew that song
exactly.
You know, well, you're a babe. You're not a baby, but yeah.
And then she also said about survival of the fittest, obviously, because we were talking about the birds of prey getting the pigeons. Mm. So then I have to show you this after bird. I sent her a GIF picture of loads of pigeons flying through the sky.
Right. Okay. We've had a tweet, another tweet from Venom Tech that says, many thanks for the shout out, Paul. Keeping us entertained as always. And that's Sarah. Thank you, Sarah. And we're looking forward to Pain, Pus and whatever it was tonight.
We're all going wincing again.
I just need to quantify this. Venom Tech are actually a drug research company, and they use toxins and poisons from snakes and spiders and toads and a nasty little monkey that they've got there as well, and snails. And they extract the venom and then use it to develop certain drug formulas for different things. Mm. A fascinating company based at Discovery Park on the old Pfizer site at Sandwich. Join Kent's biggest social media event, Amanda. That's what you need
I'm
to do.
I'm going
to
be there.
Get Social 2016.
Do you know where it is?
Returns in November, and we'd like you to be part of it. Join us on Thursday, the 3rd of November, from 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. It's being held at the Lee Academy Trust. That's in Dartford. It's the Kent and Victor Chamber and ZC Social Media. That's the lovely Zoe Cairns. Bring together a day packed full of social media content, expert advice, tips and strategies for you to take and use straight away in your business. The social media workshops will enable you to get your hands on experience in a workshop environment and start putting some ideas and tasks into practice.
Can we just clarify? Because the week before last, you said it was in Dartford, which was close to Mepham, which is nowhere near. So then last week, you said it was at the Longfield Academy, which obviously then is close to Mepham. Now you said it's Dartford. So is it at Dartford?
No, it's at the in this email they said it's at the Lee Academy. One of the problems is the long is what you have is the Lee Academy Trust, and they have two schools.
Yes.
One of them's at Lee, and one of them's at Longfield.
Yes.
They've said here it's the Lee Academy Trust in Dartford.
In Dartford,
DA3 is the postcode, but I actually think it's at Longfield, which is at Mepham.
Are you sure?
Which is only
Thought it was at Dartford. Because when I first booked it.
Which is at 9.7 miles from Dartford Tunnel.
Don't go to Mepham because it's way too far away from Dartford.
Yeah. 9.7 miles. Yeah.
But we need to clarify exactly where that is because I thought it was Dartford and then last week you said Longfield, so.
Yeah. Well, the trouble is both of them are Dartford postcodes.
Yes, but they're a little bit further apart from each other.
What this email says is it's DA3 7PH. So if you want to look up that postcode, that'll tell you which of them it is, really, won't it?
Yes, it will.
There you go.
There you go. That's
I'm pretty sure it's at Longfield Academy myself now, but never mind. It's DA3 7PH. But the problem is, whatever. It's at the Longfield.
You've got a bit of time to find out where you want to go.
And the easiest thing is go to their website, getsocialkent.com. There you go. Getsocialkent.com and look it up. I want to tell you about this as well. There's a black tie gala dance in aid of the Alzheimer's Society on the 12th of November. It's at Cathedral House. That's at 11 the Precincts, Canterbury. That's around Canterbury Cathedral. What?
Just getting that is Longfield. DA3, their postcode takes you to Longfield.
Longfield Academy.
Which is actually quite close to
9.7 miles from Dartford. Anyway, back to the black tie gala dinner dance in aid of the Alzheimer's Society on the 12th of November. It's at Cathedral House, which is in the precincts of Canterbury Cathedral. It's a red carpet reception, three-course meal, live music from a great local band, magic at the tables during the evening from the talented Mark Lemesma. There's a charity raffle. It's £75 each, or there are tables of 10 available. All proceeds go to the Alzheimer's Society. It's being organised by the absolutely gorgeous Jacqueline Offen of JJ Systems. So do follow Jacqueline on the Twitter, JJ Systems, and you can find out more about that. Just while we're talking about that, I have an event that I'm running. I shall start to publicise it soon because we've just agreed the format yesterday. I'm running an event on the 7th of November, and it's taking place between 10 and 12:30 in the morning, and it's taking place at County Hall, Sessions House in Maidstone. That's County Hall. And it's in conjunction with Kent County Council. And what we'd like, it's free to attend, And what we'd like is as many businesses as possible to come along, have a cup of tea, a coffee, a donut, a biscuit with us. And we're going to be talking about supported needs at work. And I'm working with the supported needs group at Kent County Council. And we've got a number of people that have supported needs that have established themselves in the workplace. And we are going to hear from their employers and them about the positive impact that they've made working in the workplace with various supported needs. As a lot of you know, I am the president of the Kent Deaf Children's Society, and one of the things that we are very keen on is finding work for our young people as well. So we're going to talk about why it can be really important to hire someone even though they have supported needs, how they can benefit you from a talent point of view, and we're also going to be hearing from Kent County Council about what they can do to help you hire those kind of people.
Amazing.
You know, because a lot of small businesses run away. They go, oh, the trouble is I can't afford a wheelchair ramp or anything like that. You don't need any of that. It's a myth. It's an urban myth. Mm. And KCC will be telling you exactly how you can help people with all kinds of supported needs and disabilities into the workplace and what the government do to help you do that, because there's lots of schemes to help you take on those kind of people. And we're going to hear from some really great speakers, people with supported needs that have found themselves places in the workforce. 7th of November, Sounds good. It in your diary. I'm going to be spamming all of you with invites to attend.
There's going to be thousands of tweets going on about that.
There will be a few thousand tweets a day going out about it until you all agree to come.
Yes, oh, cool,
which is good, yeah. Do you know what we're going to do now? It's that time again.
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time again when we do the Federation of Small Business News Roundup, do we not, Amanda?
We do indeed.
Go for it.
Yes, here we go for it then. New business broadband protections. The FSB has welcomed new broadband protections for UK businesses, which come into force in now, October. This means businesses will receive more accurate and reliable information on broadband speeds before they sign up to a contract. As part of a new Ofcom code, providers also commit to effectively resolve any problems the businesses have with broadband speeds and allow customers to exit their contract at any point if the speed falls below a minimum guaranteed level. That's brilliant.
Fantastic stuff. Have your say on business university engagement. Universities UK is inviting FSB members to take part in a survey on developing graduate skills and effective university links with employers. The survey and accompanying research will help to identify innovative practice as well as what the challenge to effective collaboration are and how these can be addressed. To share your thoughts, comments and examples of what works well, as well as where improvements need to be made, please click on or send an email to Kathleen Hennahan. The deadline for responses, should you want to be involved, is Monday the 31st of October. And you can get involved by telling these folks what it is you want from your universities as a business by emailing Kathleen Hennahan at universitiesuk.ac.uk. And I'll spell Kathleen's surname. It's Kathleen with a K. Hennahan, H-E-N-E-H-A-N, at universitiesuk.ac.uk. We'll put a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website.
Yeah, definitely. Does your small business have a big heart?
A big what?
A big
heart. Yes.
In the small business sector, business is
Behave.
Not... He can't help himself. Can I say again? In the small business sector, business is not simply about profit and loss. Many business owners support their local communities, and acts of kindness and generosity can slip under the radar. A national campaign started by businessforsale.com is looking for the small business with the biggest heart in the UK. There's £1,000 up for grabs and a chance to take home the Small Business Big Heart Award for the region. Winners will be presented their awards at the Small Business Saturday bus tour when it comes to their nearest town. You can nominate a business for the Big Heart or apply at, and it's surveymonkey.co.uk/r/small-business-big-heart.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. If you'd like to download a mobile coverage app, if you're an Android smartphone user, you can download the Ofcom mobile research app, and that will make you part of a nationwide panel of volunteers helping to gather valuable information about mobile coverage. Reliability of voice calls, mobile broadband performance and users' experience and habits. The app automatically measures the performance of mobile and Wi-Fi, and users don't need to manually run any tests.
That sounds really
but it's, un- yeah, it's only available for Android at the moment, which is a shame, because I would have been on that like a rash.
Yeah, I've got Android. Yeah. I put it online.
So do download it. If you go to Google Play or wherever you get your Android stuff from, it's called the Ofcom Mobile Research App.
Ofcom.
So do have a look at that.
I will. Definitely. My coverage is terrible. Oh, I dropped my phone. FSB business rates and the 2017 revaluation. The next few months are going to see some big changes in the world of business rates. There are changes to the way the appeals system works, how business rate relief is calculated, and also the upcoming revaluation. To help navigate all this, we have put together a short 2-page briefing that we'll hope you will find useful. FSB is advising all our members to register their email address with the Valuations Office Agency in advance to draft rateable values being published on September the 30th. Oh, that's a bit late. That was September the 30th, wasn't it?
Blimey. That was a couple of days ago.
That was.
There's a minimum wage rise coming. The national minimum wage is set to increase on October the 1st. The increase in the minimum wage follows from the introduction of the living wage in April of this year and precedes the planned rise in the living wage in April 2017. They love giving our money away, don't they?
They do.
The FSB is calling on the government to extend the employment allowance to help small businesses stretched by rising wage costs. The new minimum wage for 21 to 24-year-olds, where the government agreed that it should increase by 3.7%, will now be, this is from the 1st of October, so a couple of days ago, it will now be £6.95 an hour. That's for 21 to 24-year-olds. The youth development rate, that's for 18 to 20-year-olds, has risen by 4.7% to £5.55 an hour, and an increase in the 16 to 17-year-old rate of 3.4% to £4 an hour. An increase... I used to earn that a week when I started work. That's sad, isn't it?
Wow, that is a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, thank you. An increase in the apprentice rate of 3% to £3.40 an hour. For workers aged 25 and over, the government has introduced the £7.20 national living wage. And all of that came into force 3 days ago, so you need to be paying that.
Yeah,
and there are no excuses. Yeah, people keep saying, yeah, but. No, there's no yeah, buts. That is the national minimum, and you have to pay it no matter what.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of the things Gemma covered this morning, actually. In her
Absolutely.
Event.
Yeah.
Okay, webinar. Mm. Transforming your business. How to prepare for the new digital economy. A recent innovation.
You have a problem with that word, don't you? Ecumenical economy.
Yeah. A recent innovation report highlights how the UK digital revolution could soon be worth an extra £92 billion a year to the economy. So what does that mean for small businesses? With up to a quarter of firms unsure of what their industries will look like in just a year's time, a real digital opportunity exists for small business owners. But to really benefit, firms may need to change their business operational model. So join us for this webinar. Not me and Paul, the FSB, sponsored by Virgin Media Business, when we'll examine how small business firms can take advantage of the opportunity created by rapid innovation through the development of new digital capabilities. There will also be a chance to put questions to our speakers as part of a live Q&A session after the presentation. To attend, you need to go to www.workcast.com. And then /register. I think we'll put that on the website as well, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. We put all the links on the website. That's the easiest way of doing it. There's a digital boot camp taking place at the Gherkin. The Kent and Medway Federation of Small Business on Monday the 31st of October have a digital boot camp at the Gherkin in London. It's from 8:30 in the morning till 12, so there is breakfast involved. Everything in the business world is changing, driven by disruptive new business models and innovative technology. The digital landscape of today often frightens executives and leaders who are struggling to make informed business decisions in the context of new technology and digital trends. Knowing common techie terms gives credibility as a leader, broadens your knowledge base, and allows you to ask the right questions and make the right decisions. It's a 2-hour intensive interactive workshop at the London's most stunning location, the Gherkin, and it's aimed at top executives, business owners and CEOs to learn the fundamental terms and rules of digital transformation. You can book your place by going to eventbrite.co.uk/digital bootcamp at the Gherkin.
Ooh,
and I think we've got time. I've got a couple I want to do. Have
go
you got?
No, well, I've only got one more, but do yours.
No, okay. I'm going to go for this. Breakthrough Women.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Breakthrough Women have a lunch in conjunction with the FSB. We celebrate the success of women in business and help to raise the visibility of women succeeding in their professional lives. I haven't been invited to this. Why? I don't normally miss the women in business
women,
stuff.
Women.
No, I'm a token woman. I normally go to these. Anyway, female role models play an integral part in inspiring other women, and they inspire me too, and raising the visibility of women in the workplace. Our events are extremely popular and aim to encourage more women to strive for business success. So the next one is taking place on Monday the 14th of November from 10:30 to 2:30 in the afternoon. It's at the gorgeous Eastwell Manor, and it's in the Rose Garden Room, and that's in Ashford. And if you want to book that, it's eventbrite.co.uk/breakthrough women business lunch.
I'm going. I've already booked.
Are you going?
Yeah,
cool.
Definitely.
I normally can't.
Yeah, I'm sure they won't mind if
you I normally come. Follow you around. I'll go too. To Evo Girls and
exactly.
All that. Yeah. Anyway, I'll just give you a quick roundup of some events coming up. On the 6th of October, how to future-proof your business. On the 7th of October is Slope Off Friday lunch. And on the 11th of October, there's a Women in Business lunch in Dartford. So you can find out all of those events coming up with the FSB by going to the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website and clicking on the FSB tab.
Perfect.
And that kind of brings us to the end of our news roundup.
Channel Radio.
Channel Radio News Update.
Channel Radio News Update.
Cool. Kubi, I think you've got something for us.
I have. As I was sitting here listening and thinking about your audience, I was thinking, you know what? It'd be wonderful to run a competition, if that's okay with
you. Yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
Fabulous. So earlier today, I mentioned the definition of a brand.
Yeah.
I said a brand is... ... So if you can answer what that question is, you will get a free consultation. We do what's called a brand audit with clients. We spend 30 minutes with them to just audit their brand. So you'll get a free brand audit if you can answer the question, or the rest of the line, brand is... ... And to enter, all you need to do is go to the website, shebuildsbrands.com, and fill out our form on the homepage, which says stay informed. If you fill that out with the answer, then one of the team will hit you up and you'll get a free consultation.
Fabulous. Oh, we'll also tweet that out later.
Yes.
In case some people missed that earlier. But yeah, we'll do that. Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Hey, looking forward to it. I'm going to enter that at least 20 times with different names.
Okay, we'll do it full circle.
Yeah. Absolutely. Cool. Hey, coming up on Channel Radio later today, after the Business Bunker show has finished at 5 o'clock, we have the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, in his stripy socks with his entertainment and celebrity interview show. That is followed at 7 by...
Potato Show.
18 tracks of new up-and-coming unsigned music presented by Mr. Jamie Andrews on the New Potato Show from 7 till 9 o'clock tonight. At 9 o'clock, we have our comedy music show, I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet, focusing on the hilarious year of 1967 for some bizarre reason. I don't know what was so funny about 1967. I remember it, and it wasn't that funny. But anyway, apparently we managed to make a show out of it every week. So that's great. And then, of course, as always, on a Tuesday night, we finish off with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
1, 2, 3, get down!
Cool drum beat at the squidgy bass. I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
Join us from 10 o'clock with the Club Culture Show with Mr. Boy George to round off the evening here on channelradio.co.uk. But you've been listening to me, Paul Andrews, the stonkingly gorgeous Amanda Flanders, ably assisted by the lovely Sarah Ann Lucas, Bird on a Bike, and our fabulous guests, Alison Edgar, Sales Coaching Solutions, and the absolutely brilliant Kubi Springer. Kubi Springer.
Springer.
I nearly called her Jerry. Kubi Springer. She builds brands. And don't forget Kubi's fabulous competition to get a brand audit. Go to their website and fill out the details on the front of their website. We'll be back with you next week. Have a fabulous week, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Cool. And we will see you all soon.
Bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.